Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. This is WSTIRO on Blog Talk Radio, and I am here. My name is Dr. Shirley Caniff. I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, and it is Sunday night, July 26th, 10:25 p.m. And we had a real jam-packed weekend today of just going out to the Esplanade in Boston and interceding among a crowd of over 30,000 people as they, you know, partook in the Beach Boy concert. And the Lord has ministered to us about certain things and how to pray, you know, amongst the people. And it was just really wonderful what the Lord did with that. And he also gave us, you know, some visionary insight as to how he's going to move in the spirit. And the same spirit that that crowd was in, I mean, there was a lot of unity, there was a lot of dancing, there was, you know, clean fun, and it was really wonderful what the Lord was doing. And, of course, you know, when you're in the prophetic, there's a prophetic language that seems to be common among prophetic people, prophetic intercessors, people that call themselves prophets, dreamers, dream interpretation people. They seem to understand the metaphoric language of the prophetic. And many a times the Holy Spirit has been referred to as the new wine. A move of the Holy Spirit has been referred to as a wave. Okay, and one of the things that the Lord loves to do as he sings songs into our spirit from heaven and composes on the earth, capture it, and, you know, some have made it their own, and, you know, in which it was the Lord's attempt to talk to mankind. And so we see this a lot in the 60s, and a lot of the groups, if you listen to the lyrics very carefully with a prophetic ear, you can get an idea of how the Lord's been trying to talk to his people, but somehow when it comes between our two ears and the human mind, when it filters into that physical realm, we own it on a soulish level, and it's meant, a lot of it is meant for the spirit. So I'm one of the people that really feel and believe that in the 60s, there was an attempt for revival, but somehow the hand of man got in there through the drugs, through the sex, through the rock and roll. But that doesn't mean that the Lord didn't have his way. It just means that whatever he was wanting to do during that time, you know, it kind of got thwarted by the enemy bringing man's attention to other things. So now we're in the year 2000, we're in the 2000, we're in the new millennium, we're in a new decade, a new century, and the Lord is wanting to get, to knock on the, you know, the throne of our hearts again, and there's so much opposition. Well, Friday evening, which was July 24th, my husband was at work, and the Lord got a hold of me, because I've been intercedent, according to what the Holy Spirit wants me to intercede on. Sometimes I may not even know, and, you know, because of the groanings, and then he would reveal to me what it is. And so I decided I'm going to just go to sleep. I mean, I was on Facebook. I was praying with some people. That's one level of prayer. And, you know, I just was so fed up with hearing the same thing over again. I just wanted a breakthrough, but I was just too tired to even pray the way that I normally would pray. So I just decided to go to sleep. Sleep was coming over me. And, you know, it says in Scripture and in the Psalms, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. Okay, so I figured, all right, if I'm a beloved of the Lord, I'm going to go to sleep now. So I went to sleep just thinking that's what I really needed and looking forward to the next day where we had to do outreach and then go into Boston. So I just rested in the Lord, and next thing you know, the Lord taps me on the shoulder in my sleep, and next thing you know, I'm sitting face to face with me and this person who at first I did not recognize. This person looked like a young gentleman around 33 years old. He had the likeness of someone that I had known in my life before, the same kind of personality and characteristics, but it wasn't that person. But in my mind, it was like, he reminds me of such and such, but he's not really such and such because he looks a little different. He's got the character of such and such. And then all of a sudden, I'm asking this person about that person, and it was totally, it was like he didn't answer those questions. But he came to me to tell me a message, and it was the Lord himself. And the only reason why I know it was the Lord himself, because afterwards, and the message that he had given me for the body of Christ, I was like, that was the Lord himself, you know. And so, basically, and he looked right into my eyes, and I just felt his presence. And I was in a kitchen table kind of situation, and this person, was placed before me, or maybe I was brought before him, before the Lord. And I called this person at first because, like it says in Scripture, after the resurrection, Jesus visits the disciple in John 21, and they're going fishing. They had a hard time catching fish, and Jesus came to tell them, what to do to catch the biggest fish. And at the same time, he was making fish, and then they realized how, after the encounter, that was truly Jesus. And I was thinking, well, he was with his disciples for 3 years when he was in the flesh, and they recognized who he looked like, what he looked like physically and who he was. And even then, some of them had a hard time understanding that he was the Son of God, Son of Man. But of Peter, the Transfiguration, when they were on the mountain during the Transfiguration, the Lord revealed to him who he was. But that was only because of heaven opening up and, them being in a place where the Father can minister to all of them. But let's get back to where Jesus was not being recognized. And then after they ate with him, and after, they broke bread, then their eyes were open. And because he assumed another body, he wanted to purify them by spirit of discrimination of who they think that he should look like in his resurrected form. And so, I had asked the Lord about that several times. And the Lord was showing me he wants to get at that part in our human nature that causes division because of the way people look, or the idea of, who people, the idea of separating people into subgroups because of certain characteristics about the individual, and because a lot of times in our human nature, we want to the apples want to be grouped with the apples, and the strawberries want to be grouped with the strawberries, and the oranges want to be grouped with the oranges, but if you ever made a fruit salad, which tastes much better than those certain sun fruits, the fruit salad takes on a much better flavor, and there's just so much wonderful things that come about because you've, taken the best of everything from, each subgroup. So, Jesus wanted to prove to his disciples that, there's so much variety in the kingdom, and that there's no room for separation or separatist thinking, or there's only room for unity, and in the kingdom of heaven there's many mansions, and I thought about that one too, and I really don't believe that God was speaking about buildings. Because it says one part in Scripture that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? And so he likens us to a building, okay? And the Lord is the chief architect of our building, all right? And so in the kingdom of God, if there's many mansions, I believe when Jesus comes, when he appears to different people in the dreams or, you know, someplace in the spirit realm. He comes as different people, and at the same time, he comes with the same message. So I just want to just, you know, kind of like have the, you know, the Holy Spirit just minister to you in that area so that you can receive this word that I'm about ready to share with you. It's very, very important. And it was like, it was such an eye-opener for me, you know, and I'm just so baffled when the Lord does that, because it just gets into that part of my thinking. It gets embedded in my heart, and it gets into my thinking. It changes my mindset about many things. Of course, you know, we live in this modern society where the hot topic is people's rights. Some people feel that their rights have been taken away from them. Other people feel that their rights have been given back to them or in the process. And everybody's just so concerned with the right to own property, the right for insurance, the right for this and right for that. And all that is proven in Scripture that we have to be our brother's keeper. But the idea is, how do are we our brother's keeper? As Christians, do we, as believers in the Lord Jesus and people full of faith, do we manipulate the system as the zealots did in the time of Jesus, which was another kind of political group? Do we entertain the political spirit, which is, you know, the spirit of legalism? I don't think the Lord wants us to do that, because he says he comes to give us life and give it more abundantly, and I'm about ready to share with you how he reminded me of that. So in this dream, okay, when I dream vision, this man about 33 years old, he has blonde hair. I thought it was cut. He looked more like a today's man. And that's what the Lord would do. He would come and look like somebody in the time period that the people represent, all right? So, anyways, he looked at me, and I'm thinking about all these things, all these people that this person, you know, that this person reminds me of. I'm not even thinking that he's Jesus at this point, okay? And he didn't even give me a name. He just looked at me, and he becomes real frank with me, okay, after I stopped asking those questions of who he is. It went from my mind to my mouth. And then after he said, he told me the reason why he came. And I thought the reason why he came to me at that moment, but it was more than that. The reason why he came into time, okay? And this is what he said to me. And then as I was waking up from the vision, it was like it was repeated again to me. This time it was being repeated in my spirit so I can remember it. So anyways, it says, so this is what this said. This is what the Lord spoke into my spirit. I'm just still, if you notice, and the reason I sound like this, I'm still like in awe of what God was saying through Jesus in this vision. I have given you the rights to my life and the release to cry out. I have given you the rights to my life and the release to carry it out. I have given you the rights to my life and the will to carry it out. I have given you the rights to my life and the freedom to carry it out. I have given you the rights to my life and the strength to carry it out. For I died and rose that you might have my life and have it abundantly. And, it's something that keeps lingering in my spirit. And the Lord really wants me to teach from it, but he also wants people to catch it. Okay? And he wants us to stop this bickering and these debates that, you know, about, you know, are you a left-wing Christian versus a right-wing Christian? You know, God wants us to be believers after his own heart, and he wants us to be so open to his Holy Spirit working within us that we become transformed into his image and likeness, and that our very nature changes and his divine nature, becomes more fully manifest in us. And that as we're transformed, it's through our actions, through this new transformed nature in us, the new man formed in us, that we would be able to change the world. But it's one action at a time, one food at a time, and it's not through manipulation of the political spirit. The move of the spirit is contagious. It's caught and not taught. It's caught and not supposed to be a tool of manipulation. Lord showed me that this is prostitute in his spirit. He does not want us to prostitute his spirit anymore, okay? And we need to repent of prostitute in his spirit and saying that something, you know, that a certain political, party is more of a spirit than not folks. I got to tell you, you know, some of the, you know, a lot of the left-wing politics is definitely not of the Lord, but I tell you, there's more of paying of attention to the social justice issues, and I'm not talking about socialism, okay? The other thing is that there's two forms of socialism. There's the kind that Hitler tried to espouse and the kind that Stalin tried to espouse, and the Lord doesn't want any of that. But sometimes he may allow those powers to emerge to purge us. But I don't. I believe that he wants such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that those powers will not even, you know, erect their ugly head. But what we need to do is go about our Father's business and going after the kingdom of God through the winning of men's hearts, the winning of souls, and the proper teaching of the kingdom of God, that we need to have our lives be patterned and fashioned after, the life of the Holy Spirit, okay? And it has to match up with the Word of God, because we have the Word of God fully manifested in us, okay, dwelling in us. We have the Word of God in us through Jesus, all right? And so we need to understand that in order for us to bring the kingdom of God to the earth, we have to give birth in the spirit, and it's not all about having debates. The Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, always tried to get Jesus into a debate, and all he did was speak about the mysteries of heaven and why the Father sent him, and that's what we have to understand about ourselves, all right? Now, there's been several people that have commented, made really, really lewd, crude status comments, that we're not Christian, and I've actually observed some other people on their own profiles interact with other people that may not share the same political views as them, and I'm thinking, I'm like, these are true Christians. Two Christians in the body of Christ from the same generation having this, and then one person says, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. You know, there's already division there, and I unfortunately had to defend someone. It was because I didn't want to participate in a cycle of debate and criticism and questioning people, but the Lord says I'm more effective. And of course, this person didn't think I was, but I'm more effective in spreading the message of the gospel of love through the internet, radio, and internet television. Whether it's one person that listens, each time we have a broadcast, it doesn't matter about the quantity. It just matters that the word got out there, and I'm obedient to the Father as He downloads these things from heaven. So what I had done when I responded to this particular person who, was having a dialogue, which ended up in an argument and a possible defriending, I saw that, and my heart was grieving because the Lord was showing me, they're talking about rights, they're talking about different things associated with the political spirit. And it's not all about the kingdom of God goes beyond civil rights. If we knew who we were and what the Lord did for us, at Calvary, on the cross, that we wouldn't have a problem with, treating our brothers and sisters, according to the dictates of the kingdom. But living in America, we have a very hard time with that because there's been so much injustice in different areas all along, and to see that, it all translated to the American dream and how 70% of the people were not living the American dream and only 30% was. That's the imbalance when it translates to that. But if we truly were a Christian nation, which we are, all right, that is what the Lord ordained for us, but if we truly acted like a Christian nation, we wouldn't have the 70% to 30% ratio. And, it wouldn't be a problem. But God is challenging the body of Christ one more time to look at this issue before he returns, to look at what is important. And what is important is the changing of men's hearts, but not through the political process, not through a system, but through a laid-down life, sold up, to the Lord, and a docile spirit, and an obedient one at that. I'm going to go to Ephesians right now. We only have like 12 minutes left, and we originally had 90 minutes of airtime. And we just got late and started, but the Lord was showing me it wasn't going to be a long broadcast because the message was, he just wanted me to give it and try not to be too opinionated, meaning giving my own opinion, but really, it's all about the Lord. So let's get to the point here. Ephesians 4. Okay. This is actually a reading that was in the liturgy service of in the Catholic Church this morning. We usually read from the a reading from the Old Testament and then Psalms, and then we read from the New Testament. We have two readings from the New Testament and then another reading in the New Testament, which is the Gospel, one of the four Gospels. Well, anyways. This is Ephesians 4, okay, verses 1 through 15, okay? All right, here we go. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. This is Apostle Paul speaking to the people in Ephesus. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling, okay? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit to the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and he gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. In order to fill the whole universe, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, now, we have 9 minutes remaining, but what I wanted to say is that when I read this, I didn't read anywhere where he's called some to be Republicans and he's called some to be Democrats and he's called some to be independent. I didn't read anything in here in Ephesians that had to do with any political affiliation. As members of the body of Christ, we should be all about teaching people to be apostles, all right, in accordance to the gift within them that's been there since before the foundation of the earth was laid, okay? And then the Lord has also ordained people, you know, some people to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers, okay? Only for the sole purpose to prepare God's people for works of service. Works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, it's really funny in the Obama administration how they recognize this. And, you know, the administration, the political body that seems to be, you know, prevalent in our government happens to be Democratic. And even the president is saying that he is Christian, or, you know, some people are, they're misreading what he's saying, and they're saying, well, he's only Christian in some attitudes. Well, that's like that with everyone, okay? We do not walk in the full nature of Jesus, because that's why we're praying for revival. So in the upcoming revival, let's include the president in prayer as well. Everyone, especially, who is espousing to the fact that they're Christian, why? Because of, you know, by nature of their baptism, they receive baptism. Now they put on Christ in faith. They receive baptism, water baptism, and the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Spirit, by laying of the hands. Okay, so, you know, when we receive that, and we also do the sinner's prayer, make the Lord Lord and Savior of our life. Okay, and in front of witnesses. In the company of witnesses, all right, we begin to walk in that which the Lord has ordained for us before the foundation of the earth was laid. We begin to walk out our salvation, all right? We begin to, receive training from the various disciplines in the body of Christ. But nowhere does it say that we're, you know, to be trained to become part of any particular political party. So I don't understand about these political debates. It's good to read up on them so we understand the world in which we live and we understand how to pray. But we should all be about our Father's business. And so that was what the Lord showed me. And it was funny how there's a certain situation that came up and made the headlines because of the nature of the situation. I believe that in Harvard University, there was this Professor Gates was locked outside of his house, and I must have locked the keys somewhere. And he decided to, that he knew, you know, apparently he knew which window it was that was not locked, and he went into his window, but then there was a neighbor who observed this and thought there was an African-American man breaking into a nice house, and it was his house. And so she called the police, and the police came to the private property of this person and arrested him, okay, after he showed his ID and identified who he was. And when they didn't understand who he was and they didn't believe him because of racial profiling that they received, they actually went to a class that was given by the sergeant who made the decision to have him arrested and then drop the charges once everything was clarified. But the humility that this man went through because of the racial profiling that this person was teaching other people about and the fact that they followed that protocol caused the situation to reach the attention of the governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick, who is actually a good friend of this person, and President Barack Obama. And from what it said, that, you know, and what from what I heard on the news is that, you know, the president said that the person acted stupidly. He didn't call him names. He just said it was stupidly, which is an adverb. But, you know, this is what I read. I read another thing in the Metro about this. So as I'm reading this, I'm like, Lord, what is at stake here? And the Lord didn't even go into the racial part, what could be happening on the earth side. He actually showed me something on a very, very minute level that and related it to the kingdom of God. Okay, he was showing me that that he brought to my attention. He reminded me when I took real estate that I know in the state of Massachusetts, on a quick claim deed, when somebody goes and purchases property, they have, you know, what you call these rights that are likened to the Bill of Rights, but they call it a bundle of rights, fee simple. And what happens is that these rights, the right to enjoy your property and, you know, as a private citizen, all these things about your property is what you buy when you purchase property as a homeowner in the state of Massachusetts. And that was violated because this person had every right to go into his house any way he knew how, because he owned that property and he was looked upon as a trespasser of his own property. So the law is to show me it's the right of the individual that came into question. So then that's when, you know, when it was Friday when he was giving me that teaching. And then when I was, then he brought me into a sleep to tell me more about what he gives us from heaven, what he gave us from heaven with the, you know, when he died and rose again after the third day. And I just want to leave you with this because we have 2 minutes, okay? And so what the Lord was telling me to remind everyone that go after the rights, understand and receive the rights that that he gave us from the cross, from his blood that he purchased for us. And it goes like this. I have given you the right to my life and a release to cry out. I have given you the right to my life and the release to carry it out. I have given you the right to my life and the will to carry it out. And I have given you the right to my life and the freedom to carry it out. I have given you the right to my life and the strength to carry it out. For I died and rose that you might have my life and have it more abundantly. So, Lord, I pray, whoever listens to this, we have 1 minute remaining, that, Lord, that you would, you would get on in the inside of them, and that they would begin to live out these rights and apply what you did at Calvary on in their life right now, so that they would be transformed and truly transformed in their mind, the body, the will, and emotion. In Jesus' holy name. And I just wanted to thank you for listening to WSCIRO Blog Talk Radio. And, become our friend if you would like. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/WSCIRO and request us as a friend. You may have to sign up to sign in. And you don't necessarily have to have your own radio show, but if you want to, go right ahead. If you want to. And my husband was here just praying for me. He's actually right now in the spirit and laying out and hanging out with the Lord. And so, again, I just want to just ask the Lord to just touch you in a very special way and touch you with his love so that you can be an ambassador of his love and grace to a world that's very much in need of it. God bless you all. I love you. Thank you. God bless. Bye.